at huntertonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
This is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Retail industry analysts are shocked as retail sales surprisingly fell in June. The 0.3% drop is tamping down optimism that consumer spending is rebounding. A prominent Texas business investor is helping Bluebell Creameries get back on track. The company closed its manufacturing plants for cleaning and pulled all of its ice cream products from stores after a deadly listeria outbreak earlier this year. Bluebell's CEO announced Tuesday that Sid Bass has made a, quote, significant investment in the company that will ensure the return of its products to store shelves, something that hasn't happened yet, although testing is well underway for Bluebell ice cream. A study from the Harvard University Business School says more hydraulic fracturing to get at domestic oil reserves could be a big contributor to job growth. President Jack Girard of the American Petroleum Institute says this is a big deal.
We could create another 2.3 million U.S. jobs. We'd produce another 8 million barrels a day of oil equivalent, which is a big, significant increase over where we've been.
This is USA Headline News.
Bob was miserable. His website was invisible, buried 3, 4, 5 pages deep. No one could find Bob's site, not his neighbor, 6 employees, or even the dog.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
My life at the agency, and it has been my life, has exceeded all of my expectations from that January day when I first took the oath.
She's worked for the CIA for over 30 years, and now the nominee to be its next director is before a Senate committee for her confirmation hearing. Gina Haspel assuring lawmakers.
Under my leadership, on my watch, CIA will not restart a detention and interrogation program.
Haspel referring to some of her critics' concerns about her role in controversial interrogation practices after 9/11. President Trump says three American prisoners who've been held by North Korea are on their way home. They're coming back with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and should be landing just outside Washington, D.C. at about 2 o'clock Eastern Time today. This is USA Radio News.
Wayne Allyn Root for Bullet Blocker. I love these guys. Sometimes you find a product and you go, wow, why didn't I think of that? Trained as an Army Ranger and former Deputy Sheriff, Joe Curran invented the world's first bulletproof backpack. Now Joe has built a successful Made in the USA company that offers bullet-resistant products for your most precious asset, your children. Backpacks, bulletproof clothing, vests, briefcase, and more. Bullet Blocker gives your kids the gift of life. Stylish clothing that protects like police body armor. Go to bulletblocker.com and enter code WAR to save 10%. That's bulletblocker.com, bulletblocker.com.
I used to wonder why people took their own pillows into the hotels with them till I got on my pillow, and I go everywhere with mine. Stays cool all night, keeps its shape, 60-day money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty, Made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You get 2 MyPillow premium pillows, 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-951-8175. Use promo code USA.
After President Trump makes a long-awaited announcement yesterday afternoon, the head of Iran's parliament says that nation will now continue spending on its ballistic missile program, as we hear from USA's John DeMaster.
Well, that word comes after the president announces he's pulling the U.S. out of the Obama-era nuclear deal.
The Iran deal is defective at its core.
And after that announcement, Iranian lawmakers set an American flag on fire.
At the same time, the Iranian president Hassan Rouhani says that just because the U.S. is out of the deal doesn't have to mean the deal is dead. Two more cracks open up in the earth in a residential section near Hawaii's Kilauea volcano, and they're pumping out dangerous gases as well as lava. Those new fissures opening up yesterday afternoon, making it a total of 14 vents now spewing gas and lava. Remember, you can find us online as well as on the radio. We're at usaradio.com. And this is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel. As a wise and educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Suffering needlessly with allergy symptoms, unwise. Getting a free 10-day sample of Zizol, quite wise. Zizol is the allergy medicine that's just as effective at hour 24 as at hour 1, which makes getting a free 10-day sample one of the wisest things you can do. So don't be unwise. Be wise all and visit Zizol.com for your free sample today. Use as directed.
Critics are furious about a pilot program requiring New York City police officers to hand out business cards with information on how to request body camera footage. It's part of the city's Right to Know Act, and it began last week. Officers required to pass out business cards with their names and contact information to anyone subject to law enforcement activity that does not end in an arrest or a ticket. The largest police union telling the New York Post that program opens the floodgates for anyone to demand footage and makes it easier for people to track down cops with bad intent. A woman who accused President Trump of sexual misconduct is the Democratic nominee for a seat in the Ohio legislature. Rachel Crooks won an uncontested primary last night for a state house district in northwest Ohio. The 35-year-old university administrator claims she decided to run for office after President Trump, as she put it, escaped any consequences for harassing her and other women. She says Trump kissed her without her permission when she worked for a company with offices in Trump Tower in New York City over a dozen years ago. President Trump says it never happened. And you may see more kids on bicycles today than you usually do, as it's National Bike to School Day. Kids across the nation hitting the road to ride to and from school and to learn about bike safety while they're at school today. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
The weather for 100 in County. This afternoon, we are expecting it to be sunny with a high near 76, and tonight will be mostly cloudy with a low around 50. Thursday, a slight chance of showers and a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 77. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly before 8 p.m. Friday will be sunny with a high near 73 and a chance of showers on Friday night. Chance of showers and thunderstorms on Saturday will be mostly cloudy with a high near 79, and showers on Sunday, Mother's Day. So expect a rather wet weekend. And it is currently 73.
All you veterans, listen up. The sponsors of the May 19th Patriotic Concert, being held at 2 p.m. at North Hunterdon High School, are giving away free tickets to veterans and their families as a thank you for your service. Concert includes special guest Joe Piscopo and over 100 performers and musicians, including a 17-piece big band, a 32-piece string orchestra, Broadway show Trans-Siberian Orchestra singer, an operatic angel, a rising child star, a choral group, and of course the award-winning Hunterdon Harmonizers. You can call the show's producer, Kevin Gray, at 908-419-9878 for ticket info. Call right now because tickets are limited. The number again is 908-419-9878. That's 908-419-9878. It's going to be a great show, so veterans, get your tickets now.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host. I have a master's in counseling. I am nationally certified as a counselor and I am a licensed professional counselor. I have a small practice here in Flemington. I have been in private practice for 18 years, and I've been a counselor for about 33 years, I guess, something like that. Anyway, I have a wealth of information about mental health, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Last Saturday, I had a spring day of mental health. It was on May 5th. It was a whole lot of fun to do, and we had an overview of some major mental health issues like depression, anxiety, and addiction, as well as some experiential aspects of it, where we did some anger management and talked about journaling and practiced mindfulness eating. Anyway, it was a great day, and I just want to thank everyone who participated. It was a lot of fun. And I will be doing, periodically, I will be providing these kinds of workshops again in the future. One of the goals that I have, which is why I do Counselors Chat, is to break the stigma of mental health and talk about mental health in a way so that people say, you know what, I could use a little mental health tune-up. It doesn't mean that you are mentally ill or crazy or that you belong in a loony bin. Those are all things that are derogatory and prevent people from seeking help. So one of the main reasons that I do Counselors Chat is to help remove that stigma. So today, and one of the things that I do, I look online and I see if there's anything that may pertain to a mental health issue that is May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Well, it's also Healthy Family and Family Awareness Month. So today's topic is on families, functional families and dysfunctional families. And frankly, the majority of families in this country are dysfunctional. Now, that particular term has a lot of weight behind it, because even dysfunctional families function. So to put that label is kind of difficult. However, there are aspects of things that may happen within families that lead to, I'm going to say it again, dysfunction. Now, one of the things that as a counselor, we have to be proficient in 9 areas of counseling and theory. And one of them is on family, marriage and family counseling. Now, my degree is in counseling. I'm not a licensed marriage and family counselor, though I do a lot of couples counseling. Again, it's something that I needed to be proficient in to get my license and to be nationally certified. And one of the things that we studied is something called family systems theory. And what that means is that a family is a system. What do I mean by that? Well, each family plays a role in their behavior, in their attitudes. And these are things that we've learned from our family, our attitudes, our behavior. We talk about nature versus nurture. About 60% of who we are is genetically based, so our temperament is an example that I would use is, am I an extrovert or an introvert? That would be part of my temperament. Am I someone that thinks or judges? And I'm using these are from the Myers-Briggs personality. Okay, so my personality oftentimes is something that is genetically mine, my personality. There are aspects of personality like people who are antisocial or narcissistic or they have a personality disorder. Sometimes it can be genetic. Sometimes it is a defense mechanism against severe childhood trauma. In other words, a severely dysfunctional family. Now, the theory of family systems is based on the work of psychoanalyst Murray Brown. And he utilizes the idea that a person's behavior is connected with what they've learned from their family. In addition, not just behavior, but attitudes, belief systems. So I'm going to say a mindset is another way to look at it. So how I view the world may come from how my family views the world. So if my family has a belief system that says the world is a scary place and I grow up with that, that may become my attitude, my belief system affecting my behavior. I decide that, you know, going into a city is really not safe. So I don't, you know, it may limit what I do in my life because it's an attitude or belief system that I've learned from my family. Another one would be racism. It's something that we learn from our families, and it is part of that family system. Now, there are concepts of the family system, and these are some of the things that are part of that theory of system. So one of the things is a family triangle. Now, a triangle, as you would know, just by the very word, is about the relationship between three people. And triangles have a potential to be very stable, but they can be very unstable. Now, in a healthy family, you've got mom and dad and junior. I'm just going to use that as an example. Mom and dad in a healthy family lead the way. They are connected. They support each other. They have similar values. They co-parent. So you end up with something that looks like a T. It's still kind of a triangle because there's only three people here. But you've got, you know, mom and dad working together, and down the middle is junior. Or it could even look like a family tree. So you got mom and dad, and then you have a line coming down the center, and you've got the oldest and the middle child and the youngest and that kind of thing. But a triangle, in this way where it's dysfunctional, you may have an interaction between mom and junior. So they align up against dad. Or dad and junior, and they line up against mom. So now you have an unhealthy triangle causing conflict. This leads to interpersonal and emotional problems within the family system. So if mom is leaning on junior for emotional support, leaving dad out of the picture, then it causes instability. Or let's say there's junior as a girl and dad is having relationships with the daughter, and I'm not saying sexual. In other words, he's, you know, it's daddy's little girl. He's kind of ignoring mom. Okay, so the relationship is again, it's a triangle. Now, a family system, okay, in theory, works at what is called differentiation of self. This refers to a person's ability to identify and function on their own rather than in a group. So in a healthy family, okay, a person's ability to differentiate is affected by how healthy or dysfunctional the family is. So if I have a very codependent parent and I have an alcoholic parent, I may become very codependent. I may be so supportive that, you know, I have to side with the other person. I am not emotionally self-sufficient to be on my own. I am 37 years old. I'm still living in the basement. Okay, so this is an indication where the emotional interaction within the group does not allow for differentiation of the self. Another good example is, I want to be a violinist. Dad is a lawyer. My uncle is a lawyer. My mom is a lawyer. My grandfather was a lawyer. And I'm told, no, you have to be a lawyer. There's no such thing as a violinist in this house. So I'm now emotionally bound to the group to be part of it. I give up that aspect of being different, differentiating myself from the family. Now you can see there's that aspect of dysfunction. Then we have the family projection process. And this is where parents transfer in a projection, like a projector. I know some of you don't know what that is anymore. We used to have that in school. You know, a kid would be working that volunteer in there, and he'd come with his the film projection machine, and they would pull down the screen, and it would project the picture. Going to the movies, projecting the picture on the screen. Okay. So family projection is when parents transfer their beliefs, their worries, their anxieties, their emotional problems to their children. So we have what we call helicopter moms today. That would be a good example, where the moms are so worried about their kids that they're projecting their anxiety. So it may not be based in reality, but as I said a little earlier, okay, in triangulation, or some of the beliefs I'm saying that we have, oh, the world is a very unsafe place. I can't even go to the city. I'm going to say that was a true example for me in my life. I was told that the world was a really scary place. My mother said to me growing up, wear a whistle. Wherever you go, wear a whistle. Keep it in your mouth just in case you're attacked. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. But it set up for me being really scared. And I would give myself, okay, this is part of the differentiation of self, I'd give myself tasks. One of the tasks I had was to go into New York City with a bus group. Excuse me. And I did that. We went to Ellis Island and South Street Seaport and a few other things. And we were on Ellis Island, and 1,000 people were allowed on the ferry. I was going to be 1,001. They would not let me on. And I'm like, you don't understand. My bus group, and they said, sorry. And when I finally got to where the bus was, I guess it was Battery Park, it had gone. And I was left alone in New York City. Talk about, you know, having triggers. But I pulled myself together. I got myself, this was before they were even cell phones, got myself a map, figured out where I was, walked to where I thought the bus might be, and I did bump into people, and they said, oh, we thought maybe you met friends, we didn't know what was going on, and I reconnected. But I did know that if I had to get a taxi, find my way to Port Authority, get a train home, I would have been able to figure it out. And I learned from that I can differentiate myself, that I did not have to carry the projection of anxiety. Okay. So that would be one of those things. So the family's projection process can lead children to inheriting their parents' emotional problems. Then we have in the family system what's called the emotional cutoff. It's when the relationship between two people or a group of people within the family are fraught with difficulties. One party may decide to cut off the other one emotionally. So that would be maybe when siblings decide that I'm not talking to you. Or it might be when mom says, forget it, I don't want my parents here anymore. Or dad says, you know what, to his wife, you know what, your family's so crazy, we're not going to go over there anymore. I'm completely turning my back on your family. Or it could even mean that we're getting a divorce. Okay. And there's a lot of tension and there's cut off. We don't talk to each other. We may have those arguments where people don't talk to each other. I'm just not going to talk to you. And that's cutting someone off from the group. And that's another aspect. And that does happen. Sibling position. So that means where you are within the family does play a role. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later when I talk about some family dysfunction. If you were to grow up in some of the roles that we take on within the family. We also have something that's called, and this is all part of the family system. These are things that occur within families that do lead to dysfunction. But in family system theory, we have a multi-generational transmission process. And that refers to the way people seek out partners who are similar to them. So that means if I grow up in an alcoholic family, I have a higher probability of marrying someone who is an alcoholic or comes from an alcoholic family. If I have managed to differentiate myself to a high extent, so I do become a violin player, though the rest of my family are lawyers, chances are I'm going to end up in a relationship with somebody who plays first trombone somewhere, okay, so that I can connect with that person. So this gives you an idea that the family is a system, that one person affects the other. Where we are in birth order affects the other. One of the things that I say to clients all the time, you know, I don't understand why my brother's so different. Well, you know what? And I'll say in my family, I was an only child for 9.5 years. I never had a sibling until I was 9.5 years old. Then my brother came along. Now my brother, he always had a sibling. He always had a sister. He always had something that looked like two mothers. He had a different family than I had. Very different. So that makes a difference, again, you know, where we are in the situation and within our family does make a difference. So I'm going to take a little commercial break, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about families, family dysfunction, and even growing up in an alcoholic or addicted family, what that might look like. So I'm Ruth Altamura Roll, your host, and I will be back in just a few moments with Counselor's Chat.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamirol, your host for today's program. And I want to apologize for not being streaming live. Yes, I am frustrated and I take responsibility for that feeling. I came in and I was all ready to go. I figured I had it figured out. I had my trusty chit sheet here to go down and realize I needed to log out from the other session of the person previous to me, and the computer was frozen and we can't get it restarted. So anyway, so here I am again just doing radio, which I'm good with. I do know that I get more people viewing than I have listening, so I'm kind of sad about that. But I am still hopeful that next week we will be streaming live. Now, with that being said, I'm going to get back to my talkback and the topics about families, function and who dysfunction. So again, the term dysfunction, we use that, but the reality is dysfunction happens with all of us at some particular time. No family is perfect, and there's arguments and mistakes, and we're human and we all have our little dysfunctions. However, sometimes we have big dysfunctions that really affect the way the family works. And it can result in lifetime belief systems that do not work. It can result in poor relationships down the line. So if I grew up in a dysfunctional family, chances are I'm going to have dysfunctional relationships as an adult. Oftentimes it results in low self-esteem. And this really can be really damaging because it could result in other issues such as even trauma and post-traumatic stress. So some common characteristics of a dysfunctional family: poor communication. That is one of the key issues, I would say. Now, oftentimes that's what comes into my office. Couples, we can't communicate. We have poor communication skills. We don't understand each other. We don't know how to talk to our kids. So communication style is really important. It is the building block for a healthy family. And in dysfunctional families, people are unable to listen to one another. They talk over each other. They feel misunderstood. Their voices aren't heard. It's disjointed rather than direct. People stop communicating. Communication happens in very superficial ways. Couples come in and say, We don't really talk about anything important except take the garbage out, bring the milk home. What time are you going to get home? Johnny needs to get to the baseball game. Who's picking them up? And that's it. It's all itinerary. And there really isn't any talk about feelings or intimacy. A lot of times we end up with passive-aggressive behaviors, tensions, and mistrust because of poor communication. So that is one thing that indicates family dysfunction. Another one is drug or alcohol abuse and or any other addictive behavior. So we've got alcohol, we've got drugs, we've got people where we've got workaholics, because people are addicted to gambling, shopping, food addictions, video games, and other kind of gaming. It really is the epitome, I'm going to say part of, the epitome of dysfunctional families. Usually children who grew up in dysfunctional families act out of neglect, experiment with things, do not have good empathy, and oftentimes they have other well-defined roles, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later of what happens. So I'm going to go back to the alcoholic addictive family. The other thing, too, I want to mention about that is we do know that family dysfunction in general can create some of the roles that I'm going to talk about in a little bit. So even if I've got someone with an emotional problem or a physical illness in my family, it may still cause some of these problems. Family dysfunction, perfectionism. So this is when one or more of the adults expect perfection of themselves, expected of their children, expected of family members. They don't accept failure. It has a lasting effect. It reduces playfulness with children and within the couples and within the relationship. It creates a steady source of negative emotions, low self-esteem, self-hatred, even trauma. Children and individuals can feel continuously inadequate. When we work with couples that have issues around perfectionism, somebody always has low self-esteem, and it becomes a power issue. So the one who demands perfection is showing power over the next person, and that is an unhealthy situation. Lack of empathy. Okay, that is one of the hallmarks of dysfunctional families. Parents who don't show unconditional love. Instead, they're judgmental. Rather than attempting to understand a child's feelings or point of view, a dysfunctional parent relies on anger, criticism. Children feel guilty or demeaned. It's very shame-based. Parents lack the ability to emotionally tune into their kids. So, empathy. I know you're really angry with me. I understand that. You have the right to be angry with me. I know you really want to go play with Freddy down the street. But the reality is there's other things to do. It's okay to be angry. And it doesn't mean you're going to go because you're angry. So, it's okay to be angry. I understand what it's like to be angry and be disappointed. So often I have parents that say, I don't want my kids to ever feel angry. I don't want them to be disappointed. Well, that leads to lack of empathy, and it's actually it actually wounds the children because they don't get the opportunity to develop good coping skills. Control. Okay, so in a dysfunctional family structure, in that family system, if one or more parents is trying to control their children, it might put one child against the other. They may compete for affection, constantly comparing themselves. Lack of privacy. Okay, so that differentiation of self can't happen. Parents are often intruding on the privacy of their children, and encouraging dependence rather than independence. The reality is when you grow up in a family where there's control, children aren't allowed to make their own decisions, and they grow up without the confidence to excel in the workplace or the classroom, and may become controllers themselves. It's crippling. The idea of a healthy family, a functional family, is that mom and dad work together, like I say, in sort of that T. Mom and dad work together. They may not always agree. In other words, you know, I think that punishment was too harsh, but I'm not going to interfere. Let's talk about it. Let's talk before we make a decision on what we're going to do over, you know, Junior's issue. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to come to a conclusion together. And we're going to come on, join together with it on, you know, like one front to say what we've decided, okay, is we decided, I know you don't like, you know, playing soccer. What we've decided together is instead of you just quitting right now, we want you to finish off the season, and then we're going to look for a different sport or a different activity for you. It's really important that parents listen to what their kids are drawn to. So maybe Junior doesn't like soccer, but Junior likes art. Maybe Sally doesn't like ballet, but she likes tap. Yeah, it's important to listen, okay? And rather than trying to force your kids, now you could say, however, in this family, we really want you to have a sport and an art. So we're going to encourage you to do a sport, whatever it is, and we're going to encourage you to do an art, whatever it is. And when I say art, it could be music, it could be art, it could be dance, okay? The other thing, too, is I do suggest in families, limit your children to just two things. When I have a family that says, oh, my kid's in soccer, they're, you know, they're in this, they're in that, they're in ballet, they're taking piano, it's too much, and school, it's too much. So it's really important that they work at limiting. The other thing, too, is excessive criticism. So families where there's excessive criticism, then that can also be an issue. So it's difficult for children to overcome those issues. And family criticism can come from the way you look at a child. You may criticize their looks. You may criticize their intelligence, their values, their abilities. And this is all part of family dysfunction. So I'm going to take another short little commercial break, and I will be back talking a little bit more about families. And I'm Ruth Altamura, your host for Counselor's Chat.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hunterton Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterton Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamirano, your host for today's program, and I am talking about families, functional and dysfunctional. I started off talking a little bit about what is called the family systems theory, how families work, basically emotional triangles, being able to differentiate yourself from the rest of the family, family projection, emotional cutoff, and multi-generational process. You can look up family systems theory to give you some further information. I also talked about what defines family dysfunction, poor communication skills, addiction issues, and other things even such as family illness, divorce, and family emotional problems. Perfection, lack of empathy, control, and excessive criticism. All of these things can affect families. Now, when we talk about family dysfunction roles, especially when we're talking about addiction, families take on roles to survive, to survive, not thrive in their families. And generally speaking, what we have is the one person that may be super dysfunctional. Maybe a parent with narcissistic personality disorder. Maybe a parent who is an alcoholic or a drug addict or workaholic. Maybe a parent who is addicted to shopping or a parent who has obsessive-compulsive disorder and is a hoarder or has perfectionistic values or is critical. Who has diabetes or cancer or who has been in jail or, parents are now getting a divorce. Okay, so what often happens is we family takes on roles. Now, a role, just like it sounds, I'm acting. I am not being genuine. Okay, I am acting in the family. I am not being authentic. I am adapting myself to the situation. So one of the ways I describe it is if I take a seed, I plant it in a little glass box. Let's say it's a tomato. It's going to start growing. It's got dirt and it's got water. It's going to grow. It's going to hit the top of that box and start twisting and turning. And it's going to fill that box up. And it's not going to be tall and straight. It's going to adapt to its environment that it's in. And that's what happens when we grow up in dysfunctional families. So we have several roles. We have the codependent person, the enabler. That's generally the other adult who's focused on the person with the issue. We have the family hero. Oftentimes, that would be the eldest child. This child gets things perfect, can't be wrong, and has a fear of failing, tends to become a workaholic, filled with shame. But the family must be doing something right. This kid's in the honor roll. This kid's, the queen of the prom, whatever. Then you have the scapegoat. This child is angry, impulsive, gets into problems, may start using drugs and alcohol, early pregnancy, drops out of school. You know, if this kid would only get their act together, our family would be okay. Now you're seeing there's triangulation. See, so the parents are blaming this one kid. Okay. We have the lost child. The lost child, that person is ignored, quiet, just off doing their own thing, doesn't want to create problems like their older sibling, tends to have low self-esteem, doesn't express their feelings very well, does a lot of stuffing, may even at some point become addicted to drugs and alcohol because it helps to stuff. And then the last one is the class clown or the mascot. This kid is funny, hysterical, playful, laughing, cute, and very immature. They hide their pain with the humor. They're scared. They feel inadequate. And they're in a lot of pain. They never really grow up either. They're always that adult that's just still the class clown. So these are examples of what happens when we grow up in dysfunctional families. It's painful. It's shaming. We take on roles. We can't be ourselves. We find that we're in unsatisfied relationships. We marry people that are familiar, family, familiar. So again, like if I grow up in a household where there's physical abuse, I may end up either being an abuser or I marry someone who ends up abusing me. I know it. It's familiar. It's really important if you see that there's any of these things within your family to seek out counseling. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to be empathetic. And I teach that all the time. All the time about being empathetic. Functional families carry out effective economic functions in their house. In other words, they teach their children about money. They themselves are wise about money. There's basic economic security. They have jobs. They distribute activities, chores within the family. So, in other words, mom isn't doing everything. We share responsibilities in a functional family. Everybody has a part to play. Again, there's that system. We all work together. When it's dinner time, mom may make dinner. Dad may clean up. One person may make the salad. The other person is setting the table. The other person is putting the dishes in the dishwasher, taking the dishes out of the dishwasher, and you are together. You're working together within the family. Okay. Everybody has their role to play. It improves their sense of belonging. Okay. When each person in the family has a role to play at the same time, you really want to see, like I said, what is the gift of each child, so that you create sort of a sense, also a sense of autonomy and differentiation. So if my first child is very much into sports and he loves sports, that's great. My second child wants to be in music, and you know what, they're going to go get music lessons, and that's fantastic. And my third child is very much into languages, and so we do that, and you know, maybe English and writing, and they want to be a writer. And my fourth child is very into computers, and so I'm going to encourage that. So I do that. Okay? So it's, the family has to work together, but I also about stimulating their personal identity and autonomy. It's important to have clear limits and boundaries within a family. You have to have a margin of tolerance. But you say, you know, we have a bedtime. There's time. We have specific eating times. We have times to get chores done. We have play times. We have time where we sit together as a family and have discussions. We have family time where we go watch TV together. We turn the gadgets off and say it's time for family time. We go for walks together. We go on vacations together. There are defined rules and defined roles. Okay, so in other words, you're responsible for this, you're responsible for that. Each one of you is responsible for your room. At a particular age, you're going to start doing your own laundry. The job of parents is to raise your children to be well-defined individuals who are productive society, members of society, with goals and passions and aspirations, with the ability to form good relationships, because we've developed good, clear communication. So that's the other thing. It's clear communication. I'm going to teach you how to have empathy. I'm going to have empathy with you. I'm going to see to it that you feel emotionally secure within your family. I'm not going to be critical. I'm going to say we're going to learn from mistakes. I'm going to help you build good self-esteem. I'm not going to only say to you, oh, you did a great job. I also want to hear what you think. Oh, you did such a fantastic, that piece of music that you just played was beautiful. What do you think? Now, if this child is very critical, you might want to ask, how come you're so, what are some of the good things? Tell me some of the good things that you've done. What are some things you're happy with? And you know, all right, so you made some mistakes. Let's see what you can learn from it. Don't scream at your kid because they spilled the milk. Okay, we make mistakes. We all spill milk. Clear, empathetic communication. Very important. It's important to be flexible. So, rules change, roles change, the kids get older, things happen. You're 12, you have to be in bed by a particular time. You're 17, you could be in bed at a different time. I'm sorry, you're only 8 years old, you're not getting a phone yet. We have different rules for different people. And we talk together as a family. I think it's very important to teach your kids about spirituality. So I encourage people to go to church, go to temple, synagogue, whatever, or be part of nature. Teach them about a sense of awe. Teach them about volunteerism. Have them participate in areas where they can volunteer. So it's not just learning about art and music and sports and school. It's also about volunteering, so they can build that sense of empathy and gain a sense of connection, good self-esteem. So I hope this was useful. And as always, that is my goal, to promote good mental health and talk about different issues around mental health. And I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for Counselors Chat. And I will be back next week, hopefully with a camera. And I wish you all good mental health.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselors Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselors Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselors Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families.